Torah.
Why Torah? Why you? You do Torah. No, okay. Bseder. Okay. Welcome to the Basel Bechal of Science presentation. What we want to do today is go through a few of the basic things everybody needs to know in your kitchen. Okay? In your kitchen. Your kitchen, obviously, we know in Torah there's an iser to mix meat and milk, right? Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. You can't cook together meat and milk. If they're cooked together, you're not allowed to eat them. It's iser d'oraita. You're not allowed to enjoy them even. You can't give them to your dog or something because you're saving them dog food, right? That means that you're enjoying it, okay? You can't give it to your non-Jew friends as a present for Shalach Manas for Purim or something. You can't give them, okay? You can't enjoy it in any way or any form. That's if you mix, cook together milk and meat. Not only if you cook together, Chazal say, even if it's cold, not cooked together. Take a cheeseburger, cold. You take cold burger, cold hard cheese, put it together. Cold pizza and pepperoni. Okay? Asu, derabanan. Not only do we not eat them together cold, we also don't eat them in the same meal, right? Not on first course milchik, second course fleishik. Fleishik milchik, everybody knows the thing except for Leo. Sorry. No, fleishik, you know what it is?
I knew.
Anybody doesn't know what fleishik means? Raise your hand. Meaty, okay? Fleishik means meaty. Milky means milky. I don't know, whatever. What do you call it? What are the, you didn't
meat
know that.
Dairy.
Yeah. Sorry, okay. You guys are, you're the guy? Okay. Okay. Sorry, okay. Set up. So we don't mix them together in any form. We don't eat them in the same meal. Not only do not eat them in the same meal, we also have time spans between eating milk and eating meat. Okay, there we wait a couple of hours after a meat meal before we eat milk. Different minhagim between an hour and 6 hours, depends on your minhag. Probably this yeshiva they make you wait six. And yeah, it's the right thing to do. And between milk and meat, it's a bit less. Up to half an hour, you clean your mouth, etc. And that's that. We're not going into that. That's famous halachas. You all know that. You grew up with it. Okay. That's the easy stuff. Now, separating between milk and meat doesn't mean only not eating them together. It means also separating between making sure the foods do not touch milk and meat. Let's take this loaf of bread, which I took from your lovely cheder ochel. Is this milchik or fleishik? It's parv. Well, did you ever notice the cupboards in the cheder ochel there? There's the meat bread cover and the dairy bread covered. Why is that? Why does someone do that? Because you may have food on your table, right? You serve food on the table, and there's bread on the table. People are taking, right? You're eating a fleishik meal, okay, and may touch meat. You want to make sure the things that may have touched meat will not touch milk. You don't have a chance that they're going to mix together. So, halakha lemaisa, do you put on heating or cooling?
Heating.
Heating. You're joking me. It's hot. Thank you. Okay, so if in a case where you put, let's say you serve on the table, you have a special basket for the bread, okay? You have a special basket for the bread. You put the bread in the basket, put the ball in the basket, put the bread in the basket, and it didn't really touch, okay? It was on the table, special basket for bread, and it was in your Shabbos meal, meaty meal, right? Fleishik meal. Are you allowed to serve it again in the milchik meal? The bread? The answer is yes, because it didn't touch any meat. It was a separate utensil. Didn't touch any meat. Somebody wants to eat meat, took it to his plate and ate it there, and nobody put anything back, right? So in that case, you can serve it again. Don't touch the spread afterwards. So you can use it again in a milchik meal, the bread. But let's take, for instance, a salad bowl, okay? I have a lovely salad here, right? Very good. Tasty carrot salad. It's fresh, very fresh. Took out of the bag 10 minutes ago. Okay, you mix up your salad. And you can add some onions maybe. But, okay, you mix up your salad. And you're eating your meal. And you serve yourself. People are serving themselves helpings of lovely carrot salad. Now, you're eating. You have a nice steak and schnitzel and spaghetti meatballs, whatever, on your plate, right? And you're serving yourself salad. And he's serving himself salad. You're taking to your plate. Obviously, these serving spoons may have touched
meat,
and they went back into the salad again. So you don't take this salad and serve it again at a milchik meal where people are eating cheese and whatever it is, okay? And all other milchik and lasagnas and broccoli quiches and whatever good stuff, cheesecakes, okay? Carrot and cheesecakes, very good combination. So you don't do that. Okay? In a case where it may have touched, So when you have certain things, everybody's taking from that to his plate and putting the utensils back in the main salad. So even if you made a big salad for the flagic meal, say, oh, I don't want to waste the salad, I want to serve it again in my milchik shalashudis. Don't do that. Serve it tomorrow for lunch when you're eating flagic again. But don't keep it for a milchik meal. Okay, so make sure you put it aside, you mark it, it was from a flagic meal, and don't serve it in a milchik meal. Same thing vice versa, okay? You made a nice Greek salad without the cheese, okay, for the milchik meal, and everybody's serving to this plate. You don't serve it again at a fleishik meal thing. Same thing goes for hummus or something. You have a hummus, right? You hummus, you serve the hummus in a thing, and people are taking hummus and spreading on their whatever it is, right, in a fleishik meal with their shawarma, with their das, or preparing their whatever. Okay, let's say you have a falafel day, but let's say you have a fleishik day, okay, with also the barbecue. You have barbecue, right? You open the hummus things, the matbucha things everybody's taking, like to his plate or to his bread or to his pita or whatever it is, and they're putting in the hot dogs and then the steaks and the whatever it is. So it's most likely that some phlegic residue went back into that hummus or matbucha, whatever it is, into tchina. So you don't take that hummus, you mark that hummus, and you don't serve it in a milchik meal. So that's separating milk and meat, making sure the residue from one meal or from one type doesn't get touched with the other type. Now, what happens? You go to, you're going to college next year. No, you're going to Shana Bet. After you go to Shana Bet, then you go to Shana Gimel. After you go to Shana Gimel, you don't want to go to college anymore. But let's say you go to college next year. It just happens to be you went to college, and for some reason or other, you eat lunch in the cafeteria. Yeah, right, that's what you're going to do, right? Or whatever you go. What do you call the place where you eat lunch? Chadar Ochel, the Hillel. You go to Hillel. Hillel is actually the right Hebrew word for a sandwich, right? He's the inventor, Korech, right? He invented it, the Hillel. Don't buy it. Not the original sandwich, it's the Hillel. Yeah, we mentioned that in Shir, I know. But next, so you go to the Hillel room to eat your Hillels, okay? So you're eating your Hillel. So some people eat a fleishik Hillel, and some people eat a milchik Hillel, right? So you go to the cafeteria picking up all kinds of things. You like the fleishik, you take the schnitzel, potatoes, string beans, and whatever it is, okay? You sit at the table. Very nice. The guy beside you, he likes a milchik meal for lunch. He takes lasagna. He takes lasagna, spaghetti with cheese, and some other stuff, right? And a nice salad with cheese in it and everything. And he's sitting beside you. Can you do that? Or not? The answer is, you know, Leo, you want to pass him? Okay. The answer is, depends. Like in any halakhic questions, the answer is, depends. And this is very important. Okay? If you're at home, okay, or in a place where everybody has a plate, and that's it, you only have a plate and you're sitting at the same table, you are not allowed to eat at the same table. Let's say you have an apartment, you have a few partners in an apartment. That could very happen. Well, when you're having lunch in the apartment, or supper, you're eating supper, you have a day, and everyone takes out a plate with some things from the fridge and you're eating at the table, and it's the same table. You're not allowed to eat at the same table with people you know, with friends of yours, if it's within reach. Okay, unless you're eating on different tables. Or what is halakhically considered different? What is a different table? That you have different mats. Okay, if you have a mat, which is milchik, and a mat with this fleishik, you have to have, okay, a different mat. If you're at the cafeteria, everybody has his own tray. Most likely, if you're the kosher cafeteria, there'll be different colors for the milchik tray and for the fleishik tray. So everybody has a different color for his tray, and is secluded physically from the other person's lunch. In that case, it's okay. But if it's just sitting at the table at home or in your apartment with the plates like that, you're not allowed to sit like that. You have to be out of reach. Or the other solution is to put something on the table which has not got to do with your lunch, like this, like Pinky Fishman. Okay? You put this here. And then you ask, what is Pinky Fishman doing on my lunch table? Right? So the answer is, I just want to make sure that I remember not to put my hand into my friend's plate and say something from there. Okay? So that is important. That, again, if you have different trays, tables or whatever, okay. But if you don't have different trays, so you have to put a mat, okay, you have to put a special mat for each, and you can't eat stam at the same table, fleishik and milchik, or else we may mix up things. I can't take questions because we're really short for time. Okay, afterwards I'll be able to think, okay? So that is practically separating milk and meat. We spoke about separating the foods, not serving hummus or salad that is that has been maybe mixed with one serving a different meal, and separating people or eating together, okay, eating on different mats or different tables, and not sitting near one another, unless you put something significant in the middle that will remind you not to mix up, that one is eating milkshakes and one is eating fleishakes, okay? Oh, I want to taste that. Ah, like, oh no, we're having something different, right? You don't want to get to that mistake. You want something that will remind you not to do that, okay? That is our separating physically. Now we get to the real science of stuff, to the special Basar V'Chalav science. Basar V'Chalav science is, I promise you didn't study this in the chemistry class, and it's a very special chemistry, halakhic chemistry of Basar V'Chalav. Now, how do we transfer, we have this very special rules in Basar V'Chalav. This pot is what? Fleishik. Where's the meat? What's your name? Zed. Where's the meat here? Do you see the meat? Aside from the red color? Okay. Anybody see meat? I'm going to do magic. Where's my magic wand? Where's the meat? Okay. We have a halachic rule that says, ta'am ke'ikal. Taste is like the substance itself. That means there's no meat in here, right? I took it out. I washed it thoroughly with fairy and Scotch-Brite. Okay. Set up. I washed it out. So where's the meat? The meat, the taste of the meat is absorbed inside. I made meatballs here yesterday, or this morning, okay, and I have meat taste in this pot. Okay, and the meat is absorbed in the pot. So what happens if I want to make spaghetti and cheese. Fleishke pot. What happened here? The meat residue went out into the spaghetti and cheese. Right? So I have spaghetti cooked with cheese and cooked with meat. Oh, great. Am I allowed to eat that? No. So what do I have to do? I have to throw out the spaghetti and kasher the pot. Right? Kasher the pot. But if the pot was not used in the past 24 hours, what happens if you leave a piece of meat outside for 24 hours? Not in the fridge. What's going to happen to it? Oh, stink, right? Stink. Unless you live in Canada or Ireland. Center, where the weather allows, you can leave it out for a week, nothing will happen, right? Especially in the winter, okay? Or Moscow, right? So there you can leave it for a month, nothing will happen to it. Okay, minus 20 degrees, who needs a freezer, right? So what happens, Chazal say that if this pot or utensil has not been used in the past 24 hours, that means the residue, the taste that is in it, is not a good taste anymore, right? So if I made spaghetti and cheese in this pot, and it wasn't used in the past 24 hours, am I allowed to eat the spaghetti and cheese? Yes. Even though it's a fleishke pot, I'm allowed to eat the spaghetti with cheese. Because it absorbed meat residue, but it wasn't any good anymore. So I don't have to throw out the spaghetti. I can eat the spaghetti and cheese, great. But what's with the pot? The pot is a problem, because the pot has meat residue in it, even though it's not so good. And it now absorbed residue from what?
Cheese.
From the cheese. So it has meat and cheese in it, so the pot will have to kasher. So don't throw out the food. If you haven't used the utensil in the past 24 hours, do not throw out the food. The food is okay in most cases. The food is okay. But the pot has to be kashered. Sometimes, a lot of times, people call me up and they say, Rabbi, I cooked the spaghetti and cheese in my pot. I threw up the spaghetti. What should I do with the pot? I said, first take the spaghetti out of the garbage, eat it, and then ask you what to do with the cup. You know, people throw it out. Why throw it out? So even we used in the past 24 hours, it was fleishik, so therefore, it really, meat went out to the spaghetti and cheese, I have a problem, right? But if it wasn't used in the past 24 hours, my spaghetti's okay. I don't do that with lechatchila, don't do it. But hey, don't mix up things, because you have to kasher your things all the time, right? So, but b'diavad, you did it by mistake, and it wasn't used in the past 24 hours, you can eat the spaghetti, okay? Very good. Now, what happens in this case? I'm cooking my spaghetti and meatballs. I decided to make spaghetti and meatballs in a fleishke pot. That's great, right? Okay, but I covered my pot. No, it fell in. No, it didn't fall in. But it was, okay, this is, and this is vleishig. Okay, so what's going on now? I'm cooking spaghetti and meatballs. Now, did this touch the meatballs? No, I only made a half a pot. I put it on the top, and it's simmering on the gas, right, on my stove. And what am I going to do? What happens to my spaghetti and meatballs? What happens to this? Is this okay or not okay? The answer is, guys, that since there is steam Okay, it's steaming in the pot, even if it does not touch. Steam is considered like substance itself also. So if I have chicken soup, spaghetti meatballs cooking here, and it's steaming in the pot, and I put a milchika cover, so what happens? This milchika cover absorbed what?
Meat.
Real meat, right? I was making chicken soup. It absorbed meat in it. So what I have to do is I have to kasher it, right? Because it's milchik and it absorbed meat, I have to kasher this. What happens in the chicken soup? What happens in the chicken soup? So the answer is, depends on this, right? If this was used in the past 24 hours for milk, right? Yesterday I made spaghetti and cheese with this, okay? I made a nice milchik soup for the winter, okay? Nice creamy mushroom soup. Okay, yesterday, in the milchik pot, and this absorbed milk yesterday, and I put it on my fleshy chicken soup, so my chicken soup now has also cream mushroom soup in it, right? Because this was used in the past 24 hours, so I have to throw out my chicken soup. What can I do? But if it was not used, and also my pot absorbed from this, so also the utensils absorbed one from the other, and I have to cash with the lot. But if this was not used in the past 24 hours, so my soup is okay. Okay, because it absorbed bad mushroom soup. Okay, so my chicken soup is okay, but I still need to kasher this because it's absorbed the chicken soup in it. Okay, got it?
What about the pot? Do you kasher the pot too?
Well, if it's not used in the past 24 hours, I don't need to kasher the pot. Okay, is that it? Okay, good. Let's move on to the next case. The next case is considered what in halacha, even though in bold, if we swear we're not use the term, but the term is only mention the term nat bar nat. Okay, ever heard of that? Notin tam, ben notin tam. Forget it. When you do your smicha, Bezrat Hashem, in a few years' time, you learn what that means. But what does it mean practically? Because even though you learn it, the terms you learn only for smicha, you have to know what it means in your kitchen. This is the most common question I get. Okay, most common question I get. What happens if... Here, let's just make sure... Okay. Now, what happens if I'm making something parv? Okay? Making something parv. I wanted to eat spaghetti and meatballs, and my wife made... My girlfriend? No, they're all girlfriends. Right? Okay. Now, my wife made meatballs yesterday. I know they're in the fridge, but I need to make some spaghetti first, right? To be able to mix it in. So, I make spaghetti. Spaghetti is what?
Parv.
Okay, I'm making parv spaghetti in the fleishke pot. Good. I finished making the spaghetti. I have lovely spaghetti here. I mean, I want to mix it in with meatballs. I go to the fridge. Ooh, no meatballs. They're all finished. What am I going to do? Have spaghetti like that? What am I going to do? No. So what are you going to mix in spaghetti if you can't mix in meatballs?
Cheese.
Cheese. Right. Could I put cheese in this? No. Okay. No problem. Yeah. Okay. Could I mix some cheese there? Could I mix some cheese?
No.
Depends. Depends on what? Very good. If I use the pot in the past 24 hours, the fleishke pot, so therefore the spaghetti has meat residue in it. If I have meat residue in it, I cannot mix cheese into that spaghetti. But, and here's a big but, which is I'm allowed to serve the spaghetti in a milchik meal. I can serve it on the plate, even hot. I can heat the spaghetti, the hot spaghetti, I can serve it onto a milchik plate. I can this one, yeah, it's my plate, okay, lovely plate. I can serve it onto my milchik plate, no problem. Because I'm not mixing with cheese. As long as I don't mix it physically with cheese, I can serve it in a milchik meal. I can pour it out from the fleishke pot, take it out, serve it onto a milchik plate. Same thing goes for a soup. You made a soup, right? You made a big soup in a fleishke pot. So yesterday you ate a fleishke meal for supper. So dinner, whatever, what do you call it? Supper or dinner? Whatever it is. Okay, dinner. So you made a big soup, a big nice pea vegetable soup for dinner. And you ate it with a fleishke meal. Today you want to heat it up. You're not going to start making more pots, right? Okay, and your microwave doesn't work. So you want to serve it in a milchke meal now. Could I serve this in a milchke meal? In a milchke soup bowl? The answer is?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Because I'm not mixing it with cheese itself. That means I can eat it in a milchke meal, but I cannot mix it with cheese. If this hasn't been used in the past 24 hours, in that case, I can mix it even with cheese. Okay, if this hasn't been used in the past 24 hours, I can take the soup, pour it into a milchke thing, and even pour some cream inside. Okay? But if it has been used for the past 24 hours, I can eat it in a milk utensil, but cannot mix milk or cheese, put like, you know, hard cheese or whatever, in the soup itself. Okay? Same thing goes, and this is very common for a cake. Okay? You won't know. You won't know. Okay? Same thing goes for a cake. What happens with a cake? You were making chicken for Shabbos. When did we finish? 5:20? Okay. So, you're making chicken for Shabbos in the oven, right? You're making chicken for Shabbos in the oven. You finish the chicken, you put in a cake. Now, the oven was what? Was used in the past 24 hours. It's just used for chicken, right? So the oven absorbed the taste of the
chicken.
You put in a cake, you made a cake. Aha. So, now I want to have the cake with a cup of coffee. With milk. Could I do that or not? If I just use the oven for fleishik, I cannot. Why? Because the cake was baked in the oven while it was used in the past 24 hours for fleishik. Right? So my cake is fleishik. What do I mean fleishik? I can serve it in a milk meal. Okay? I can serve it as dessert in a milk meal. But I cannot eat it. I cannot put cheese on it. I cannot put milk cream on it. And I cannot eat it together with a cup of coffee with milk. Okay? That is what's called not ba'anat. Okay? That is this case. If it wasn't used in the past 24 hours, if the oven was not used in the past 24 hours for fleishik, or, as I said, it wasn't used, okay, and you bake the cake in that oven, okay, you can have it with a cup of coffee. So make sure, if you want to bake a cake that you want to have with a cup of coffee, tell that to Max guy who sells your stuff there, right? You have to make sure that the oven is or milchik, or was not used in the past 24 hours for fleishik. Okay?
You have to kosher the oven after?
Well, I made a private cake. I didn't put milk in the oven.
Oh, right.
Okay, right? Center? Good. Center? So that's that. Last point I want to, before they knock on the door again, like you did, is the onion cakes. Okay? Here we get back to the board, and now I'm going to use them. Okay. As we said now, milk and meat are absorbed by, in pots, by heat. Right? Heat. There is one thing that gets absorbed without heat. One thing, it's not exactly one thing. Anything that's sharp, sour, or hot, okay, gets absorbed even without heat. Meaning, onions. Who knows the juggle here? Okay? Onions. Okay, afterwards. Want to juggle with a knife? I saw, last week I saw my 3-year-old daughter sitting at the table, okay, doing like this. On her mat. I said to her, what are you doing? I said, I'm cutting vegetables. You don't have iPods? Fruit slicer? Okay. It took me some time to get what she's talking about. 3-year-old, that's what you get today. Okay. Okay, we'll do the real stuff. Okay, okay, you have onion, you have pickles. Okay, very, very common. You have pickles, you have lemons, you have red hot chili peppers. Not the music. Okay, now... Chas v'sholom, or Benji will kill me. It's avodah zara, shlichus damim, whatever it is. It's all the stuff together, like you told me, the music. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so now, what happens? Onion is called zavah harif, lemon and that. This thing absorbs from utensils, even if they're cold, okay? And even if they haven't been used for the past 24 hours. That means you take a knife that hasn't been used for 2 months, a milk knife that hasn't been used for 2 months, cut an onion with it on a cutting board. The cutting board turns milkic because the milky taste went out to the onion, went out to the cutting board. Okay, if this cutting board is fleishik, guys, let's say I took a fleishik thing and I cut it on a fleishik utensil, this onion absorbed meat from the fleishik, it absorbed milk from the knife. What do I have to do? Throw out the onion and kasher both utensils. You have to wash out. Okay? Therefore, in a home kitchen, it's very recommended that you have a par set of utensils. Okay? For onions, for lemons, for pickles. And take this rule. If you always cut an onion, a pickle, a lemon with a par of a knife and a par of a cutting board, you're safe. You can use it for milk, you can use it for meat. Or. But if you cut a pickle... because you wanted to have some pickles in your shawarma, right? You were having shawarma, you're having a barbecue at home, right? And you wanted some pickles. So you were cutting pickles with a fleishke knife on a fleishke board. You had lots of pickles. And you didn't use all the pickles. You didn't even serve them to the table. But they were cut with a fleshic knife. Those pickles are fleshic. They're like meat. If I cut this with a fleshic knife, it's like meat. If I put it in a milk pan, my milk pan is treif. It was only on, I'm in this part, right? No, but if I cut it with a fleshic knife, 1 minute, okay? I put it with a fleshic knife. It's like I put a piece of meat in a milk pan. Okay? So you have to watch out with these sharp things. Not only this is sharp. Okay? You have to watch out. Because it takes okay, you got it? So therefore, it's a classic question I get. What happens to people? They cut an onion with parv. Okay, they listen to me. They cut it with parv. The onion's parv, right? The onion's parv. Now I take it and put it in a milk pan. I put my onions in the milk pan. And I'm making fried onions, right? You want to fry a lot at the same time. It's annoying to fry every time again. Okay, whatever it is. And I'm making fried onions. Okay, very good. Okay, and now what happens? I take out of the drawer. Now, this hasn't been used for a week. This hasn't been used for 2 weeks. But what do we have in here? Onions. You have onions, you're a goner. Okay? Everything has to be thrown out. Okay? Or kasher. A pan is impossible to kasher. Throw out the pan.
Why?
Because a pan it's dry. It doesn't, like a pot which is uses water, yeah, you can kasher with water. But a pan that you only use a very small amount of oil and it's dry, that means you have to do libun chamu. It's impossible to kasher it. Okay? So, yeah, we're going to have to throw out the pan and kasher the utensil you were using. Okay? So you want to watch out. You don't make the mistakes. I got at least 3 or 4 times people asked me this question. They made this mistake. They're making an omelet, right? So they made an omelet with onion, right? Make an onion omelet with a bit of butter or even without the butter. Forget the butter. You made it without the butter. You put in margarine, oil, and if milk pan, and you mixed it with a fleshic spoon or fork. Or a wooden fork, or whatever it was, right? It's all treif. Because the onion absorbs fleshic, absorbs milchik, and absorbs it as if it's very strong, okay? The strength of the onion strengthens everything that's there, okay? And therefore, in that case, you have a real problem. So you want to watch out with the sharp things, okay, that you don't make mistakes, and always use parv. You want to fry onions, fry them in parv. Or if you're making an omelet with onions, so you want to make it with milchik, make it milchik, but make sure you use a milchik utensil or else you're in trouble, okay? So you went through separating foods. When you're eating, separate foods from the food you served on the table. May have touched fleshik, don't serve it with milchik. We talked about the pots, the heat, if it's the same day, use the same day, not the same day, right? If it was used past 24 hours and you used something milchik, you throw out the food because it absorbed the meat, right? But if you haven't used the pot pots in 4 hours, you don't throw out the food, but you have to kasher the pot. Okay? In any case, the top, we said, absorbs also. Okay? We talked about a case where we cook something parv. Okay? Cook something parv. Could I eat it with milk or not? Could I pour cream into my parv soup that was boiled in a fleshic pot? If it was used past more than 24 hours, I can serve it in milchic utensils, but cannot, half a minute, but cannot pour cream into it. But if I haven't used the pot for 24 hours, past 24 hours, and I decide to put pork cream in the soup, I can pour cream in the soup, even though it was made in a fleshic pot. And we spoke with the onions. Beware of the onions, they're very sharp. Yeah.